listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Do you gonna do?
Do you really think that?
Do you think it all? Yeah.
The government cares about
they
you.
Ain't giving up a second thought about you, no. Ghetto people.
Who you gonna turn to next?
Tell me. With your life,
I'm running like a rare disease.
I'm running like a rare disease. Ghetto people,
stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, yo. You got to learn to love yourself. Ghetto people.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we review the issues of our day from an African worldview and African centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters. In the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet, it gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe. It simply means, so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity. Everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future, we all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotel family, hope everything was well with you today. Hope you're going to have a good day today. Hope you're going to get a chance to do all the things you want to do, need do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope that the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But if it ain't, and you got to do it, and it must be done, I know you'll get it done. Because that's the kind of brother and sister that you is. And we love you for it. Believe me, we do. I know if I was in Milwaukee, it's snowing, Jack. It's cold and snowing. Yeah, man, Milwaukee. That's my home. And there's a natural connection between Milwaukee, Chicago, Indianapolis, Louisville, Nashville, Chattanooga, Atlanta, and that is the interstate of I-75 to Chattanooga to I-24 to Nashville, from Nashville at I-65, Louisville, Indianapolis, Chicago to 94, I-94 to Milwaukee. The migration of our people. The real route is U.S. Highway 41. Here in Atlanta is Northside Drive. It's Northside Drive. And that's a good portion of U.S. Highway 41. And then in Milwaukee, it's South 27th Street. And on the north side, it's Appleton Avenue. But these were the routes that our people took at the turn of the last century in the mass migrations because of the ill treatment. And we went north, didn't get any better, whether you went north. I maintain now that if you're south of the North Pole, you south. So let's get started, okay? Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. If you cannot listen to this program live, you can go to timeforanawakening.com and look at the podcast. Click on that, and you will see African Perspectives, and you will see programs that are dated and titled. Immediately following this program, on Monday and Wednesday, is the Black People Matrix with Brother Franklin Jones. The Black People Matrix with Brother Franklin Jones. From 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. On Mondays, in the evening, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., all these times I'm giving you are Eastern time, so just accordingly. Acres of Diamonds, Public Affairs Programming out of Philadelphia, Brother Wahad. Right after that is Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. And then after that is Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey at 9 p.m.
On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. Wednesdays, Revive with Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness, from 8 to 10. On Thursdays at 7 p.m. on Thursdays, Relationships with Joy and Troy at 7 p.m. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, you know what time it is. That is right. It is time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Fridays at 8 p.m. And on Sunday at 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. No, y'all know that ain't me. That is Sister POC and her program Revive, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Sunday. And then Sunday evening at 7 p.m., once again, brothers and sisters, it is time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard at 7 p.m. on Sunday. And every Monday through Friday at 10 p.m. Eastern to 12 a.m., it is the Warren Ballantyne Show right here on Time for an Awakening Media. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We buy black. We buy black. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses at webuyblack.com. The largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses is webuyblack.com. Check them out for all the products that are produced by us. Okay? And if you're in the Atlanta area and you're near, if you are on 75, 85, or 285, or wherever you are, get to 166 to the Greenbrier Mall off of Campbellton Road. Campbellton Road, that was the strip back in the day, y'all. I'm quite sure somebody might be listening that could remember that. Back in the 70s and early 80s, Campbellton Road, Mr. V's, Marco, Cisco, man, party. Well, anyway, Campbellton Road, and they have a kiosk in the Greenbrier Mall where you can pick up that laundry detergent, toothpaste, toothbrushes, batteries, lotions, deodorants, all those things that are produced by us at WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans, Brother Mamani Taimba, Africa for the Africans. That's right. Africa for the Africans. And, man, what is this? Some stuff just jumped on my screen. You know, I tell you, sometimes the computer just don't do a brother right. And, you know, and that's happened. It happened to me last week, Wednesday. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Go online to AfricaForTheAfricans.org and check out Brother Bamani Taimba. Give him a call at 404-931-9429. 404-931-9429. He is going to South Africa this month, November 22nd to December 2nd. He's going to Johannesburg and Cape Town. And then next month, December 24th, January 4th, 2020, he's going back to Ghana. If you want to see photos of previous trips, then go to facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of previous trips, go to youtube.com/Bomani2007 and check those things out. That is Africa for the Africans. Shrine of the Black Madonna. Well, let me go here to Renoco. I tried it my best to, when I make the announcement for Brother Bomani, I'm going to make an announcement for Brother Renoco. And, of course, Brother Renoco, go to Dr. Renoco, drrunoko.com, Dr. Renoco. And you can check out the information about this upcoming tour to Senegal, Gambia, and Guinea-Bissau. He is still in fact, I think he's just leaving Kemet on his way to the Sudan. He's leaving Kemet on his, just sent some beautiful photos. If you don't follow, if you have Facebook, if you do Facebook, follow Dr. Renoco Rashidi. So he's going to Senegal, Gambia, and Guinea-Bissau. And, of course, the trip is only $3,856. That's sharing a room. But if you don't want to share a room, just add another $680 to the cost. And, bam, there you go. You have a luxurious trip at a good price. And the real treat on the trip to Senegal is you will get a chance to visit the radiocarbonation laboratory that was established by the great historian and scholar, warrior scholar, Dr. Sheikh Anta Diop. In fact, it is Dr. Diop who won the battle to clearly
helped the world understand that the ancient Kemetic or Egyptian people were African, because he developed the melanin dosage test, the smoking gun. So check out Brother Renoco and that outstanding trip. Shrine of the Black Madonna, they have a holiday weekend this weekend. This Saturday, November 9th, the Shrine of the Black Madonna Cultural Center and Bookstore is hosting an open house from 1:30 to 5:30, featuring American African cards, calendars, Kwanzaa kits, cups, cards, and much, much more. And then from 2:30 to 4:30, enjoy a free jazz concert with Rosemary Robinson and Comas Music Group. Come browse and munch to the melody of the sounds of Comas, the music group. And, of course, the Shrine of the Black Madonna is located 946 Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard in Southwest Atlanta, in 30310, here in the west end of Atlanta. Okay? And, of course, the number to call is 404-549-8676. 404-549-8676, the Shrine of the Black Madonna. Now, you know, they also have a history class. Know Thyself, African folks, African history class, Know Thyself. And that is going to be this Saturday from 1:30 to 3:30. And it will be going on. I had information on that, so the class is still happening. And also, too, but if you want the information, they have a multimedia library. It was 4.5 terabytes of African enlightenment. Now it has been bumped up by 2.5 terabytes of African enlightenment. So now it is 7 terabytes of African enlightenment just for you. So contact the Shrine of the Black Madonna, all that it can be available to you. The bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, right by the kiosk of We Buy Black, is the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The number to call is 404-346-3263. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, featuring fine selection of books, cards, greeting cards, all kinds of good stuff. It is open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9, and on Sunday from 12 to 6. And the number to call, once again, is 404-346-3263. If they don't have it, believe me, they'll get it. I've dealt with them a number of times. In fact, I was looking for my book, The Psychopathic Racial Personality. They didn't have it. They got it for me, I mean, within a matter of a week or so. Love them. Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore, my good brother Kazimde Ajamu. Check him out in Lithonia. The number to call is 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107. And he has the red, black, and green shoes, the gas shoes. He has T-shirts. He has all kind of apparel. And more importantly, he has books. The same applies. If you're looking for a book and he doesn't have it, he'll make sure you get it. Because there is light in the black dot. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for Our People. Tomorrow night, they have their Thursday night broadcast at 9 p.m. Us Lifting Us, the Thursday night broadcast at 9 p.m. And the number to call is 929-477-2789. 929-477-2789. The Us Lifting Us Thursday night broadcast. ULU, the Economic Development Cooperative for Our People, in the spirit of Ujamaa. Cooperative economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. Akabin Institute, and of course, the Baba Rudy and Yaba Rudy, we have, in fact, she will be on the program next week, Wednesday, in the second hour, Sister Yaba Rudy, to talk about Kibuka, which is remembrance of the horror of the Maafa, the Mfakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the middle passage through the eyes of our ancestors. I've seen Kibuka performed many times, and it's deep, y'all. And it's November 16th from 5 to 9 at the Sweet Spot, 675 Metropolitan Parkway here in Atlanta. So please check out Kibuka next week, Saturday from 5 to 9. I'll continue to announce that. And, of course, Akabin Institute, brothers and sisters, please make your donations. Make your check or money order out to Akabin Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310.
Once again, Akabin Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia 30310. And if you want to give Cash App or PayPal, if you have that, put the dollar sign in and Yah, Y-A-A-M, Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I, and make your donations. Another sister who seeks donations and deserves them is Sister Gabby out in the northeastern portion of Haiti. Sanjay-Haiti.org. Sanjay-Haiti.org. Sister Gabby is doing outstanding work. And if you go on that website, you will see what I'm talking about. Believe me, it's phenomenal. And she deserves to be supported. Sanjay-Haiti. Sonjay-Haiti.org. Black Talk Radio Network Project, this is the media fund. If you go on Black Talk Radio Network, this program right here is on the Black Talk Radio Network. And so you go there on the website and you hit, well, you don't have to hit nothing. Just go on the website and scroll down and then hit the gold donation button to make your contributions to the Black Talk Radio Network 2019 Media Project Fund. The Inye Sasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. November 5th. The claim to an absolute ultimate truth is a psychological necessity for the European mentality. I repeat, as you clearly understand, the claim to an absolute ultimate truth is a psychological necessity for the European mentality. Marimba Ani. What makes the European mind unique is its imperialistic supremacist strivings. So in this political context, the question and answers of science end up being nothing more than attempts to academically endorse the premeditated lies Westerners use to live at ease with their systematic manipulation and exploitation of others. This is a major point of contrast between Africans and Europeans. Europeans see science as a means to enhance their destructive, oppressive ways. Africans, on the other hand, see it as an instrument that allows an individual or people to enhance self. For us, then, science serves a human good purpose. We cannot ignore the fact that European culture is naturally, aggressively, imperialistic, and supremacist. Domination over all others is its core imperative and interest. Satisfying this hunger only begins their indulgence in a whole host of other lesser but related imperatives and interests. And since we know that science validates culture, we know that European science validates their supremacist, imperialistic aggressions. That's like, I'm going to just break here. I'm going to come back to Baba's narrative here. But there's another thing that you probably can go online, and that is Dr. Jacob Carruthers' book, Science on Oppression. Science is not neutral, is not objective. Nothing is neutral or objective in the hands of the European. And since we know that science validates culture, we know that European science validates their supremacist, imperialistic aggression. It is a science of oppression and wanton aggression. Understood in this way, we can see that European science is truly a political science because it unquestionably reflects the active, conscious, and extremist bias directed, directed cultural minds of its bearers. Affirm, I think, as an African scientist. Affirm, I think, as an African scientist. October 6. African philosophical thought is expressed both in the oral literature and in the thoughts and actions of the people. Thus, a great deal of philosophical material is embedded in the proverbs, myths, and folk tales, folk songs, rituals, beliefs, customs, and traditions of the people, in their art symbols, and in their social political institutions and practices. Kwame Giki. Proverbs reflect the accumulated wisdom of a people in a way that all other people can understand it. They give individuals what they need of their people's way, whatever their age or intellect. These wise words are some of the most sophisticated ways of thinking, creating better thinkers by challenging them to find deeper meaning in what they say and do. So we must ask ourselves, what kind of mind evolves in a reality where proverbs are a normal part of everyday conversation? What kind of mind is produced in individuals who think in proverbs? Also, proverbs are a product of calm, settled people. They come from a people who really take the time to think enduring thoughts. It is the art of consciously thinking, unlike logic, which can only easily be used for evil or good. All proverbs are designed to better develop the individual's intellect. Something understood in the communal obligatory society has a benefit to the community. Affirm, I study proverbs to fathom my people's wisdom. Affirm, I study proverbs to advance my people's wisdom. The Inye Sesim of daily revolutionary thought. Yes, yes, yes. Let me try to go to try to do a few things here. I know I want to do this. Definitely want to read Kwame Nkrumah and Sister Ani. I want to do that. And the reason why I do that, and also to make the announcement once again, that this Friday, Brother Jeremiah Kamara will be my guest. If you go online, you go to YouTube and put in slave sermons, or you put in, just put his name in, Jeremiah Kamara, C-A-M-A-R-A, Jeremiah Kamara. And you might even be able to see his documentary Contradictions. You might even see his documentary Holy Lockdown. Does the Church Limit American African Progress? So you might be able to see all of that right there on YouTube. And then you'll hear him on Friday. Hopefully you'll do that and you'll have questions or comments or some concerns that you may have, so we can have some good dialogue with my brother Jeremiah Kamara this Friday right here on African Perspectives on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Kwame Nkrumah. You know, I love Kwame Nkrumah. I love Africans. I especially love Africans who thought independently, who thought outside of the imposed boundaries that Europeans had placed upon us. I love Africans who released the vice grip from their minds and understood that there's nothing we can do to challenge Caucasians to change their behavior and their mindset and their direction. It is in them to do what they're doing. But it is in us to do what we must do to be a people again of self-respect and nobility. So I love those Africans. Kwame Nkrumah, when Ghana was one of the first African countries to throw off the shackles what the European had done in 1957, he said this 4 years later, 1961, he said at the Speech of Freedom, I believe strongly and sincerely that with deep-rooted wisdom and dignity, the innate respect for human lives, the intense humanity that is our heritage, the African culture united under one federal government will emerge not as another world bloc to flaunt its wealth and strength, but as a great power whose greatness is indestructible because it is built not on fear, envy, and suspicion, nor won at the expense of others, but founded on hope, trust, friendship, and directed to the good of all mankind. Years later, as you know, a coup d'etat happened. He was deposed. Man, it's sickening. He said this, if we do not approach the problems in Africa with a common front and a common purpose, we shall be haggling and wrangling amongst ourselves until we are colonized again and become the trolls of a far greater colonialism than we heretofore. Damn it. And you see it happening. You see it happening on the continent.
You see it happen right before our eyes. That's what I'm saying. We don't have time. Time is of the essence. To be truly liberated, African people must come to know the nature of European thought and behavior in order to understand the effects the European has had on our ability to think victoriously. We must be able to separate our thoughts from European thoughts so as to visualize a future that is not dominated by Europeans. This is demanded of any African-centered view because we are Africans and because the future towards which Europe leads us is genocide. Remember Ani. It's genocide. It's a fact. And we're experiencing it. We're experiencing it as we speak. It's genocide. Yes, yes, yes. The movie opened this past Friday. Harriet Tubman, a woman in our history who all of us who must understand may not know the total story. Some of it is fact, some of it is fiction, but somebody who we must respect for who she was and what she did and the courage she had. The movie out is coming under mixed reviews. First, before the premiere of the movie last Friday, there were some American Africans who were upset that a British African was playing Harriet Tubman. Stop it. Stop it. That has been done a few other times, you know. The American Africans and the British Africans, the French Africans, all the Europeans have impacted African mentality so deeply and causes us to constantly bicker amongst ourselves. The divide and conquer mentality that it sickens me. If she was the right person and if they had auditioned many other sisters for the role and she proved to be the one, so be it. Whether she's American African, even though the person being portrayed is American African, but it doesn't make an issue. You know why? Because she's what? African. So stop it. Damn. So that happened. And I saw her on TV. Then I saw some other stuff that she's engaging with Caucasians. You know, is that a surprise? Everybody in the entertainment field deals with a lot of Caucasians because they are running the entertainment field. They're running what's happening in theater. They're running what's happening in movies. They're running what's happening whatever. But so she was chosen to play Arminta. And you know, that's what I always like to call her because that was her name. Arminta Ross, that's her family name. You know, she was born, Arminta Ross was born in March, don't know the exact date, of 1822. When the Civil War was happening, she was already 40-something years old. And she died in Auburn, New York at the age of somewhere around 90, maybe 91. March 10th of 1913. Of course, they used to call her Moses because she was leading us to the promised land. That's cool. She was also called Minty because that's her name, Arminta Ross. Her first husband her parents were Harriet Green Ross and Ben Ross. So she was named. So she took the name of her mother. She took the name of her mother. And her last name of her first husband, John Tudman. When she began to deal with the Underground Railroad, she became Harriet Tudman. And if she married again in 1869 to Nelson Davis. So she was dynamic. Now, of course, there's always going to be some discrepancies, some embellishments. And, of course, in a movie, they have what is called artistic licensing. That means that they can fill parts of a story with things that did not happen historically. For the dramatization of the story. And so this movie, if you have no history, if you have no understanding of history, let me say it that way, and you just go see the movie, and you come away with And you know, I know, I'm quite sure cinematically, it's outstanding. The technology of the day, hell, the Ten Commandments movie cinematically was outstanding for that day. So I ain't worried about the cinematics. They're going to be what they are, unless the budget of the movie was so damn low that you know. So that's not the case. So systematically, the cinematography of it was outstanding, of course. Talk about that. Talking about what the movie conveys. What is it telling us? What is it showing us? Is it showing us a somewhat close to honest portrayal of Raminta Ross, Harriet Tubman? Join this conversation. If you saw the movie, give us a call, 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. If you didn't see the movie but you got some questions or comments, please give us a call. Let's engage in some conversation. You know, when I pour libation, and I pour libation to those who fought against our captivity, and she's one of the people I mentioned. I used to say that she had a bounty on her head that would be equivalent to $1 million today. And of course, they all know that's not true. So I don't say that no more. Because what I try to do is be factual. I don't try to embellish stuff. I just try to be factual. I mean, you know, it is what it is. And then I've seen what it said. She only made 13 trips. And then there's a few other places that said she made 19. I'm like the 19. Although that's an embellishment. But, you know. That boggles the mind. 19 times. Hell, 13 is deep. It's just if you want to just go with 13. But it's written in a number of places that she made 19 trips from the south to the north and back and forth. And then it says, you know, freeing over 300 of our people. And she's not going to free. And then she's attributed with saying that she could have freed 300 more if they knew they were in captivity. So I'm quite sure people know you in captivity when you can't do what you want to do. And then they said, well, approximately she really probably freed maybe 70 people. I like the 300 better. And she lived a long life. She met everybody of significance at their time. She was in the suffrage movement, women's suffrage. Probably didn't do too much in there. Same with Sojourner Truth, because she met Sojourner Truth. You know, And of course she met Frederick Douglass, you know, and John Brown, you know. John Brown is a Caucasian who, you know, who laid his life and his family's life on the line to freeing African people. That's why many years ago, back in the day, at a organization called Project Respect, my good brother Hassan, maybe God be pleased with him, Hassan, he said, "We're gonna give the John Brown Award, you know, the John Brown Awards to a Caucasian that was doing something seriously positive for African people." They would get the John Brown Award. Couldn't give it out too much because, you know, there went a lot of doing really significant things. I mean, there are some. And let me say this, because I know I didn't get a chance when I saw Sister Baino. I know she's still in town. I'm going to talk with her, Sister Baino Bello, who just came out with her book, The Sheroes of the Haitian Revolution. Beautiful illustrations, beautiful pictures, and of course her words, outstanding. And but that Sunday, on Sunday morning on CBS, Jane Pauley. I used to watch. I've watched Sunday morning pretty much a long, long time. When Charles Kuralt was on there, and what's the other Caucasian's name? He was on there for a while, you know. And just features, because some of the features are cool, some are not. So it's news features. And one of the features was a Caucasian who's a sports writer, and he writes books out of Detroit. And he saw the Haitian earthquake in Haiti in 2010, and he wanted to do something, and so he went to Haiti. And then he created an orphanage and a lot of kids, and about 50 kids, 50 young kids. And so he supported that. He put his money into that, you know. And so him and his wife, and they're talking with them and so forth. And even one child that they brought back to the States because she had a brain tumor, something on her brain, and unfortunately she passed, but they took her to the States so she could get possibly the kind of medical attention that she needed. And and so he still does it, you know. And he's wrote a number of books, my conversation with Maury, not just a sports writer, but I remember seeing him on the Sports Reporters. That was one of the first talking heads pieces that ESPN would present on Sunday mornings. First it was hosted by Dick Shapp. Dick Shapp is one of the few Caucasians that I had some admiration for. Just very few, because I thought he was pretty much straight ahead. And of course his son is Jeremy Shapp. He's also on ESPN. And he wrote objectively about Muhammad Ali and so forth. So I kind of, you know, Dick Shapp. And of course, he was a co-host with Joe Namath, because, you know, I love the Jets. And Joe Namath back in the day, back in the 60s, you know. So he had these sports writers. And one sports writer I loved, that was Ralph Wiley. In fact, Bomani Jones, if you're into that and you watch ESPN and you watch ESPN Sports, I know Bomani Jones is on pretty regularly. I love Bomani Jones. Yeah. And he reminds me of Ralph Wiley. Not so much as the other sports cats. There's not a lot of sports brothers that I think that are, you know, that are not capitulating. They're not going along to get along. They will speak their mind, especially when that situation happened with Colin Kaepernick. Brother Bomani Jones was up front about what was happening. In fact, he had a t-shirt, because he's dealing with these issues of how Caucasians just don't, because they don't give a damn. So just like the Washington team, the football team, you know, and they keep, and the indigenous people keep saying, "Hey, this is offensive to us," you know, calling us Redskins is offensive. you know. And of course, some teams, some particularly high school teams and college teams, who those were their mascots, they started to change those things. Some didn't, because they were just so adamant about keeping an indigenous mascot. And so Bomani Jones, and I've seen this, you know, if you ever seen the Cleveland Indians and their mascot, you know, like Atlanta here, the Atlanta Braves, and their mascot was Chief Nakahoma, you know. And I remember the Braves from Milwaukee, because I'm from Milwaukee, and I remember their mascot, you know. And so he had a T-shirt that looked like Cleveland, but it said Caucasians, and it had a Caucasian person looking, you know, it's interesting. So, but I seen that too when I was in a program that dealt with trying to understand public policy and how it affects communities of color and so forth. And with that program, I had a chance to do some traveling. One of the things I regret, I didn't go to Africa with them. I regret that. But I've been. And they went to Ghana, and I've been. But many times. But we did go to Pueblos. We did go to Mexico to visit Maquilidoros. We've done a number of things. And I remember going to New Mexico in an indigenous shop where it had the things that they were offensive to them. One poster says, what if they said of the Cleveland Indians and a team in New York called the Harlem Niggas? You know, would that be appropriate? Yeah. So, this benevolence of Caucasians, and they want to write the narrative to fit them. And so, even in a movie, we've had this problem many times, and we're going to have many more unless we have our scholars, and I'm putting emphasis on O-U-R, our scholars, our historians, our writers, our screenplay people, that means they have an African-centered philosophy. They understand the effects of this society on African people and globally. They're not people who are going along to get along. They don't just love the fact that I can be in Hollywood. These brothers and sisters understand the duty that they have to present our information as historic as possible, and not to use characters and characterizations, even though it is part of the fiction of a biography movie, but saying, no, we're not going to do that, because in the Harriet movie, there's a lot of fallacy. Give me a call, y'all. Just jump on this. My good brother and friend, who will be on right after me, may be talking about this. I'm not sure if he went to see the movie or not, but he says, Brother Franklin Jones, The Black People Matrix. The Harriet Tubman movie shouldn't be banned by all American Africans. It makes American African men the villain and the Caucasian man the hero. The main villain is a fictitional brute, African catcher, a captive catcher, that calls Harriet a bitch and pursues her to the price of getting to sleep with the Caucasian woman. The hero is a fictional Caucasian savior that supposedly loved Harriet. Because our stories are told and controlled by Caucasians, they always distort them in order to make us think favorably of them and negatively of ourselves. We have seen this so many times in terms of movies that are presented with a very negative portrayal of African men. I could mean off the top of my head. How about The Color Purple? The Harriet Tubman movie should be banned by all African people. The film makes American African men the villain and the Caucasian the hero using totally fictionalized accounts and characters. The main villain is a fictional brute, a brutal African catcher that calls Harriet a bitch and pursues her for the price of getting to sleep with a white woman. The hero is a fictional Caucasian savior that supposedly loved Harriet. Because our stories are told and controlled by Caucasian people, they always distort them in order to shape our minds to think favorably of Caucasian oppressors and negatively of ourselves. Brother Franklin Jones, you will hear him today. He will be on after this program. I was listening to Dr. Boyce Watkins of Your Black World, and he talked about it. Him and his fiance, he's getting married, marrying a sister who's also a doctor in philosophy, I believe. And I hope I'm still on. There's some stuff happening here. There we go. Yes, I am. I'm still on. And they went to see the film. And he was highly upset how the film was portrayed and how she was portrayed and the three fictional characters. The fictional character that Janelle Monáe played. If you've seen the trailer, you would see there was a sister that that Harriet was talking with, and she showed her and gave her a gun, you know, and told her what she must do and so forth. That character, in fact, in the movie, that character is killed. Michelle Monáe is killed by the American African brute, the catcher. She's killed by him because he's looking for that bounty. He's looking for that money. Now, could there have been, were they African catchers? I don't think they, if there were, they were part of a group. I don't think a single brother who wanted to catch us, who had escaped to get some money, was doing this by themselves, walking around looking for us with a gun, a rifle, or whatever. Because the people that were doing it, which is the advent of police, that's right, the advent of the police, you know, if they saw somebody, anybody that looked like us, especially with the fugitive slave law enacted, anybody that was not where they felt they supposed to be, where they felt them, the Caucasian, where they supposed to be, they were going to be taken. Just like in the movie 12 Years. Just like in other areas of the South that enacted it, why a lot of people had to go north because they said, I'm free. But yeah, down here you ain't. And you could be in captivity. So you better go. You better leave Virginia, Georgia, Tennessee, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Mississippi, Alabama. You better leave. Because anybody with your skin, your face, your hair, I don't give a damn who you think and say you are, you're going to be in captivity. So it's possible if he was with some others or a companion, just like in the movie Django, the Caucasian, who helped Django out in the movie, if you remember that, and that sky blue suit he was wearing. So, because if you were just roaming around freely with a gun, you would have got killed. Because number one, no Caucasian would have came upon you asking you if you had a gun any questions. They saw you had a gun, they shooting. Shoot first, then ask questions. So that right there, and then, you know, the character, once again, they put characters in to make the story, embellish the story, and so forth for your viewing pleasure, you know. So the Janelle Monáe character, you know, who was there to help Sister Armenta Ross, Harriet Tubman, with the situation. So we're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk further about this. Join us. Give us a call at 215-490-9832 and join us in this conversation. If you've seen the movie, if you plan on seeing the movie, if you plan on taking your kids to see the movie, if you didn't see it and you haven't and heard some things or whatever, give us a call, because that's what we're talking about today. The Tubman, the Harriet movie. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Brothers and sisters, we'll be right back. You join us. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Other program we have here on Time for an Awakening Media on Mondays, this program, African Perspectives, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., followed by on Monday and Wednesdays, the Black People Matrix, Brother Franklin Jones from 1 to 3. Monday evening at 6 p.m. to 8, Acres of Diamonds, Public Affairs Programming with Brother Wahad. Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. And then after that is Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey from 9 to 10.
This call on is Tuesday, being recorded.
On Tuesday, excuse me. On Tuesday, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. And then on Wednesday, this evening, Revive with Sister POC from 8 to 10. Tomorrow night at 7 p.m., Relationships with Joy and Troy at 7 p.m. on Time for an Awakening. And then on Friday, if it's 8 p.m. and it's Friday evening, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. So please listen on Friday, 8 p.m. And then Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., Revive with Sister POC. And then Sunday night is Time for an Awakening again at 7 p.m. with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And then every Monday through Friday at 10 p.m. to 12 a.m., the Warren Ballantyne Show right here on Time for an Awakening Media. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. 9832. We're talking about the movie Harriet, a movie that many of our people are kind of disgusted about, and I'm going to be talking about that and hope you can join me. The number to call is 215-490-9832. We have a caller, 602. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Brother Oshie.
Good afternoon. Marcus. Good afternoon, Brother Marcus. How are you this day?
I'm doing great.
Great. Right on.
So, you know, you have to be suspicious of any time white folks spending their money to put out a movie like that. There is always an ulterior motive. White folks don't spend no money to show nothing that's going to destroy them. Okay? So, they always write it that black people have to have a white savior.
Mm-hmm.
See, got to be a white man in there saving to save black people, just like Jesus. Mm-hmm. Jesus is your savior, your blonde hair, blue eye, white man. Now, the same thing in the movie, the Black Panther movie. Mm-hmm. I didn't see that movie yet, Harriet, but I respect what that brother say. Franklin Jones, because he watched the movie with a critical eye.
Right.
And most of our people ain't going to catch that.
Right.
They're going to go in there and they're going to suck it up. You know what I'm saying?
Because I've seen, some reviews like that from brothers and sisters. Yes, you go out and see the movie. It's, you know, this, that, and the other. And for me, that's what I do. I look at everything with a scrutinizing eye. I try my best to be as analytical as I can be. In fact, there was a period of time that my children said, I don't want to go to a movie with you, Dad, because you're always trying to analyze stuff and trying to find the esoteric and hidden meanings of every damn thing. You take the fun out of a cartoon. But I'm saying but that's what happens.
That is exactly what happened. It's like the other day I was watching this little thing on the internet. It was this chicken, was a little cartoon thing, and the chicken was laying an egg. So it said, which egg is the bad egg? And guess what egg, what color egg it was?
Exactly.
Black.
Exactly.
Black egg.
Exactly.
So it's consistent psychological warfare on the mind of black people.
Yes.
You know, I said, just in the Black Panther movie, the hero was the white man who shot down the spaceship carrying the weapon to the freedom fight. Killmonger, he was the bad guy.
That's right. That's right.
White folks ain't going to spend their money to put out nothing that's going to put them in a bad light. But I won't be spending my money to watch that garbage.
Well, that's what Boyce Watkins said. I'm trying to save our community of millions of dollars. I'm giving you a critique right now. You can go to Your Black World, and he has about an hour piece that he talks about it, you know, on Your Black World, if you choose to do so. And he says that just what I just reiterated earlier about some of the characters in a movie, you know, that are not historical, that are not real, but they're exactly. put there for exactly. a purpose, you know.
Exactly. Because once our people ain't gonna read it, gonna read her narrative. Yeah, they're gonna read. They're gonna watch the movie,
right?
And then they're gonna come out with the mindset, yeah, black man ain't this, black man, or the black man is the man again. You know.
That's so, right. That's what anyway, they're gonna do.
Brother, thank you for your program.
All right. You know. All right, Brother Marcus. Thank you, man. Peace to you.
All right.
Peace. 646-646. Good afternoon.
Hey, Oshie, what's happening, brother? How are you?
I'm doing fine, Jay. How are you today?
I'm good. Listen, good. Quick question. What do the movie Harriet Tubman benefit African people in which way?
Well, obviously the movie, not this movie, not this movie, but a movie about Harriet Tubman that tries to be as factual as it should be and could be and must be is an inspiration, because that means that we never give up, that we always strive for independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people.
Stop right there. Do this movie represent any of those things?
No.
Stop right there. Then if that's the case, why would you go and give your money to this form of propaganda when it's not going to do nothing to take us to the next level as African people? So basically what you're saying is you're going to be participating in being used, brainwashed, duped, and cast aside as nothing more than a slave, and then try to get you to accept your enslavement through it. I mean, they just play games with us, man. And unfortunately, we are so desperate for representation and acceptance with this Yoruba that we just go along with this nonsense. So whereby they're, first of all, disrespect you by having someone that is not of your cultural norm to play the part of Harriet Tubman, then they'll put in fictional characters that were never part of history to make you believe, and then in the end, when it's all said and done, get you a sympathetic devil to identify with. So all in all, just a waste of effing time.
Yeah, time and money. Yeah, that's like I said, but. Dr. Boyce Watkins on his Your Black World does about almost an hour piece explaining how treacherous this movie is and how frightening this movie is, you know.
And he ain't that bright.
No, well,
to spend an hour of time letting that Negro there break something down just goes to show you, you know, the condition that we in. Then you got the others like the Tariq Nasheer.
Yeah, oh, man. I'm going to tell you.
I mean, come on, man. I mean, listen, if I'm going to listen to anybody break it down, I want to listen to your guest that you're going to have on Friday, or Baba Varudi or someone else like that, of that African
mindset,
knowledge, break it down. I'm not going to listen to a Negro P, a master Negro P. They don't do anything for my intellect when they try to break it down, because they're not about liberation. They're not about sovereignty. They're not about anything that's really African. They just want to pimp African people to get paid.
You
Come
know,
on, man.
I tell
I
you.
Mean, we, you know, Boyce Watkins is one of the most charlatanist Negroes one could ever be around, man. He done exposed himself on numerous occasions with his shenanigans, but we still go back to him. Just like that other master Negro, Umar Johnson, another Negro who got our people under some twisted sick spell. I mean, listen, if we don't wake up, and we don't wake up soon, It's getting dire and dire and dire every day. It's not getting no better. It's not getting no better. And for some reason, we can't seem to figure it out that it's not getting no better for us.
All right, right. Well, it's not intended to. It's not intended to. For those of us who understand it, like you and myself and many others, well, some others, not many others, because if it was many others, we wouldn't be in the situation that we're in. You know, but there are some of us who understand these dynamics, who understand the trickery that goes on in a society like this, and that we don't believe. And like, I'm at the point, Jay, that a Caucasian can't tell me sugar, honey, iced tea.
Not at all.
At all. I reject everything. I reject it all. There is nothing that the Caucasian can present to me, because I know anything that he presents to me is going to ultimately be a benefit for himself, to my detriment, to our detriment.
You're supposed to take the information and use it for your benefit.
Right.
You're not supposed to take it as the gospel like the Negro do.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, everything that this Shurugu say, the Negro take it as some form of gospel, from religion to all sorts of things. You know, I mean, it just becomes a sickening, sickening, sickening parable of how we live our lives to basically, you know, just want it to be based on what the devil say.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever the white man say is cold, then it's cold. If the white man say it's hot, it's hot. If the white man say it's lukewarm, it's lukewarm.
And CJ,
it could be as hot as all hell. If the white man say no, it's not hot as all hell.
And CJ, Jay,
you're not gonna believe it.
Jay, you were of the mindset like I am. If the Caucasian say it's hot, no, it ain't, it's cold. If he say it's blue, no, it's not, it's gray. If he say, whatever the hell he say, I'm saying the opposite. In fact, I remember years ago, some Caucasians were mad about some brother. And I said, I like that brother. You know, if he make Caucasians mad, and they're he's done something right. But if there's some Negro who's, you know, lapping up Caucasians and kissing they, you know, hell with him or her. You know, hell with them handkerchief heads. Hell with them Negro pins.
I was looking yesterday to No Neck Martin's show, and he had on a sister that was part of the, I think the African Union or something, and they got rid of her because of her criticism.
Yes, she was a diplomat. French.
Okay. Now, the thing is this. Everything that she said was totally on point. Why is it that we as African people are paying French what we're paying French? Why is it that, you know, we don't realize what the French did to Mali when Mali said that they wasn't going to pay them?
Mm-hmm.
Just absolutely, basically destroy Mali
infrastructure,
messing with their water and infrastructure and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't take that into consideration of who and what this white man really is and the things that he will do to destabilize us. Like the sister said, we as Africans are going to have to come together as Africans and say no to these
people. Yeah.
They can't kill the whole continent. They can't kill the whole continent.
Brother,
Will they try? That's the key question that you as an African must understand.
See, that's why, Jay, we must come together, kick everybody out. But unfortunately, leadership or misleadership, the weak neo-colonialism that takes place on the African continent, and of course the Chinese are there, the Russians just came in. I saw a picture of Putin surrounded by African so-called leaders and so forth, you know, and everybody coming in there, they're not coming into Africa because they want to be philanthropic, they want to be kind and considerate and all these other things. No, they're coming in there because they have an agenda for Africa's resources. They don't care about African people. In fact, Bill Gates, somebody should just see that mother and just beat his ass. He has been trying to kill Africans for a long time through vaccinations and so forth. And now they got this so-called mosquito that's supposed to some genetically modified mosquito that is supposed to eradicate the other mosquitoes to end malaria, you know, and other diseases. You know,
that's BS.
No, because what those mosquitoes are doing is they're, of course it is, but what they could do and probably will do is land on brothers and sisters and make them infertile because they're trying to kill African people.
That wouldn't be shocking.
Of course not.
You know, the thing is, but you can't tell that to the Negro peen about Bill Gates. You can't say anything bad about Bill Gates because Bill Gates in their eyes is over in Africa helping them. They over in Africa doing things. Yeah. I mean, you know, something to tell you the truth, Brother O.C., the whole situation is sickening.
Yeah, it is.
It's really sickening. It's sickening on the part of our people being constantly brainwashed and manipulated by this devil. It's sickening on the part that we can't figure out how to close up ranks and get our acts together. Mm-hmm. And it's sickening most of all is because people like me and you haven't been able to figure out how to do what we have to do to make these type of systematic changes, not only here in the broad. So hopefully as a people, we can move forward. You can't constantly be in this situation and have the information and the knowledge that we have and not figure out how we can implement this to the point to where we can save our people. We got to figure this thing out.
Yes, we do.
We don't have that much longer.
No, we don't. Our time is tenuous, man. Believe me.
On the continent that we're not controlling through an American base. There's no reason for it. It's no reason why there's not one African country to where as the African country and the blacks of America are working hand in hand to build that country up into the greatness with all of the talent and resources that we have here in the board. I just don't understand. We better do something because it seems like this devil is manipulating himself into colonizing us again in different ways.
Why do you, why do you think I always read that piece on Kwame Nkrumah? I read it almost every program. He said, if we don't get our act together, stop haggling and wrangling over, we will be colonized again into a far greater colonialism than heretofore. And that's what's happening. And he said that in the 60s, 50 years ago.
The Chinese are doing
it. Yeah. Like I said, the Russians are in there. And of course, what America has is military.
We don't even really talk military. About America.
No, they have military bases. America is not doing anything philanthropic. They have military bases. But listen, Jay, let me finish reading this piece on Harriet. And right, if you brother. Listen to it, give me a call back, okay?
All right.
All right, brother. Hotep. Harriet Tubman, Facts and Myths. How the movie tried to get it right. Yeah. The filmmakers pored over books, documents, and other research to remind viewers of a woman behind often this distorted legend. Now, of course, let me pull this up. There we go. Think of Harriet Tubman, you're likely to picture an old woman in a handkerchief, seated on a somber mental image drawn from the handful of former photos taken near the end of the abolitionist's remarkable and in many ways inexplicable long life. So it's something of a jolt to see her in this new drama, Harriet, in which she's both young in her 20s when the filming opens and active, leaping off bridges, facing down captive owners and charging through woods with hunting dogs at her heels. Perhaps more jarring, this Tubman is armed and ready to start blasting, something you certainly didn't see in all those children's books about her. These books defamed her, declawed her to make her more palatable, says Keshi Lemons, the film's director. Because there's something quite terrifying about the image of American African woman with a rifle. Few figures in American history have been shrouded in myth and misconception as Arminta Ross, Harriet Tubman. Biographers have made up figures about her, and from the numbers of enslaved people she rescued to the bounty on her head. while others have misquoted her, including Hillary Clinton and Kanye West. Yuck. One of her earliest biographies is filled with inaccuracies and racist language, while a cottage industry of children's books paint a picture of her that's often more fable than flesh and blood. When the author and historian Catherine Clinton was writing the biography Harriet, The Road to Freedom in 2004, she said, "I encountered people who were not sure if she was even a real person or if she was a figure of folklore." So what happens when Hollywood, an industry not known for factual presentationists, gets his hands on Harriet Tubman's story? In Harriet, which just opened this past Friday, the filmmakers have fashioned a lead character. It's played by Cynthia Erivo. And I have, once again, no problems with whatever African. You don't have to be American African. She's British African. She could have been Caribbean African. She could have been a Ghanaian, a Nigerian, whatever, playing the role. We're Africans. Far removed from her starred image, equal parts embattled heroine and action star. The film pored over numerous biographies and firsthand accounts to separate fact from fiction, creating a two-hour narrative from a nine-decade-long life that included two marriages, encounters with Frederick Douglass and John Brown, and stints as suffrage and a Union spy. Tubman, who lived in 1913, lived and died, she died in 1913, was also the first woman to lead an armed assault in the Civil War. Incredibly, despite all the biographies and monuments, operas and music exhibits and commemorative stamps, Harriet is the first feature film to focus solely on the Underground Railroad's most famous conductor. The filmmakers had to wait and wait for the industry to get as excited about the projects as they were. Hidden Figures was a real breakthrough in that regard. One of the producers, Deborah Martin Chase, said, referring to the 2016 based on real-life tale of American African women at NASA, because Hollywood was not making a movie about an American African woman, period, much less an historical piece about them. Among the sources that the filmmakers consulted was the first biographer about Tubman, Scenes in the Life of Harriet Tubman, 1869, a problematic book by Sarah Hopkins Bradford that included several inaccuracies, the number and nature of her rescues, for example, and set the stage for inaccurate accounts to come. Bradford, who was Caucasian, interviewed Tubman, but she was used to writing about Peter the Great, Columbus, these great Caucasian men, said Katie Clifford Larson, author of the Tubman biography, Bound for the Promised Land, an advisor on the film. So when she listened to Tubman, she just didn't pay attention. And she also had her own racist views about African people. So the language she used in the biography was offensive. Among the often repeated myths about Tubman, that there was a $40,000 bounty on her head, a preposterously high amount at the time, when the reward for the capture of John Wilkes Booth, the assassinator of Lincoln, was $50,000. If it were that high, she would have been caught, Larson said. In the film, we see posters citing a more reasonable amount, $200 and $300. And then there's the number of enslaved, number of captive people she rescued throughout the Underground Railroad, which was reported at 300 in her 1869 biography, but was more likely around 70. Her story was a hard sell at the time, so they embellished things to try to sell it. That's what Lemon stated. The film's epilogue goes with a more accurate estimate, while adding that at part of a relatively large military operation, and she also freed more than 750 captives during her time with the Union Army during the Civil War. In the film, we see Tubman, Arminta Ross, Harriet Tubman, leading hundreds of American African troops, leveling a rifle at her Confederate enemies at plantations burning as plantations burn in the background. I don't think we necessarily think of historical female figures as like Joan of Arc, particularly in children's books, but that's exactly what she was. So said the producer, Daniela Lundberg. Lemon added, you don't have an image of what she was like when she was actually doing this work in her early and late 20s. When she was this young superheroine, this completely badass woman. As for those guns, Tubman carried a pistol during her time with the Underground Railroad to protect herself and her charges against hunters. And at least on one occasion, as in the scene in the movie, to encourage those under her to stay the course. Because if you don't run, you're going to tell. So you better run or I'm going to drop you here right now. During the Civil War, she was wielded as a sharpshooter. She wielded a sharpshooter's rifle. The film includes several lesser-known episodes from Tubman's life, including the one that opens the film, in which a young Tubman hires a Caucasian lawyer to examine the will of her mother's former to deal with the will of her mother's former captive, only to discover that her mother, and hence herself, were legally free. They also endeavor to get Tubman's words right, particularly given how often she's been misquoted. In 2018, Kanye West attributed a made-up quote to her in a since-deleted tweet. I freed 1,000 slaves. I could have freed 1,000 more if only they knew they were slaves. Not long after describing slavery as a choice on a TMZ Live appearance. Yeah, Conway. That shocks me, Larson said. Anyone who was in captivity knew they were in captivity. And if they could have ran away, they would have. It's an insult. Even so, there were things the filmmaker had to fudge in the interest of cohesive narrative. Timelines were conflicted. The Fugitive Act, for instance, was passed within months after she escaped, not after she had already became a conductor on the railroad, as in the film. The characters were created. Gideon, a young owner and childhood companion of Tubman, for example, was a fiction, a stand-in for hundreds of men and women who grew up alongside the people held in captive by their parents. For me, of course, as a historian, I wish it was completely, totally accurate. But it's Hollywood, and they got Tubman. Cassie Lemons really got her and made her this militant radical while also conveying her love for family, and that's who Tubman was. Lemon said that by now I know a whole lot about the story, so I was conflicted, embellished, created, and used poetic licensing. I certainly knew exactly what I was doing, she said. I did want to represent as much of it accurately as possible. The story is so incredible that it sounds as if it's not accurate, but it is. Well, it's not accurate in terms of you creating that the hunter, the captive hunter. No, that ain't accurate. And of course, once again, the villain is in the movie is us, just like in the Black Panther movie, just like Marcus said. Because the hero in the Black Panther movie wound up being the Caucasian who was a member of the CIA. Well, you know what it is, brothers and sisters. We trying to make this money for this film. We don't want no damn film that just beats the hell out of Caucasians. Just gives them a severe beat down because of what they are, who they are, and deeply what they've done. So we don't want to make no movie like that. We want to make a movie where some of them are just portrayed as really good people. Because some of them say, well, if it wasn't for Caucasians, you couldn't have an Underground Railroad. Hell, if it wasn't for Caucasians, we wouldn't need no damn Underground Railroad. So they have to play a prominent part in the movie Rosewood, John Voight, who is to me an asshole, Trump lover. He plays the Caucasian who helps when the Caucasian vamps on the community of Rosewood. He helps some of them escape, get on the head, whatever they're going to go to. You know, there's always the benevolent good Caucasians who get a part. You know, they always get a part. You know, just like in that movie, just like in this movie, because they want to sell the movie to the general public. And if the movie is accurate, as accurate as can be, there were very few and far in between benevolent Caucasians, especially in that area and at that time. But they had to make the American African man, the brute, the evil one. He kills Janelle Monáe's character, who was inspiring Sister Harriet to do her work. Had to kill her. They had to kill anyway. And then he was killed by the Caucasian to save Harriet and called her a bitch and then used the vernacular of today's time. But that's what movies do, y'all. So if you still want to see it, you go do that. I'll catch it, you know, when it come on TV or something like that. Catch it on Netflix. How about that? Another contentious point is Byron Allen. Byron Allen is having a challenge, and he needs to be supported by us. He's trying to acquired a number of television networks. In fact, he even acquired the Weather Channel, you know. And his main impediment is Comcast is the one that is producing this movie, Harriet. And yet Comcast is preventing Byron Allen. So they're going to make some movie off of Harriet and prevent us from trying to see what I'm saying? So I'm quite sure if you're a Facebook person on your messengers, if you're a Facebook person, and you've probably seen it on Facebook if you don't have Messenger, there's a number of pieces where Byron Allen, in fact, he's on the Breakfast Club explaining the situation with Comcast and his lawsuit against him. You see? So, you know, the struggle for us is constant. And as it should be. Because as Frederick Douglass says, without struggle, there is no progress. Life itself shows us struggle. Life itself shows us struggle. You struggle in the testicles of your father. You struggle in the testicle of your father into the epididymis, into the urethra, the penis is in the vagina of your mother. Your father ejaculates a million sperm. The vagina is not a welcoming receptacle for sperm. It kills sperm. But that's the struggle. That's the life struggle. As the sperm is in the vagina, you ejaculate a million sperm. How many does it need to fertilize an egg? One. That sperm moves through the cervix into the uterus, going into the fallopian tubes, where an egg that has been released from the ovaries of your mother. Many sperm try to fertilize that egg, but then you, that one, makes it through and fertilizes that egg. That egg is now fertilized. It is closed off. No other sperm can get in. That egg now moves down into the uterus of your mother. It divides and grows, divides and grows, divides and grows. And so now, 9 months later, here you come out. And it's a struggle. That's what life is. And you struggle to deal with your environment. You recognize parents that are in your life, and they're in your life for the purpose to develop you, to help you grow, to assist you. It is your world, and they're in the world for your benefit. Because you can't take care of yourself. You can't wipe your ass and change your diaper and feed yourself. So now you develop and grow, and now you're walking. Now you're being disciplined. You're being told, no, don't do that. Because a baby knows, hey, little baby, hey, little sweet baby, come here, baby. Hey, stop that. Put that down. He knows the difference. She knows the difference. So you're giving that child, I don't believe in whipping nobody. I don't believe in that. I believe in rearing a child the way it should happen from the very beginning and instilling that in a child all throughout their lives, that they have a respect for you, a reverence for you, because why? You help them understand who they are. And so now your struggle continues as you get older. The life is struggle. Our struggle is the fact that we need to get out of this madness that we're in. Listen, I have a call. 225-225. Good afternoon.
Yes, OC?
Yes.
Yeah, well, actually, no. I was just checking in.
What's up, man?
I just turned in. So,
hey, how you doing?
Pretty good, man. This is cute.
I know. I got you.
Haven't had a time, to hear anything yet. I mean, you're just giving the. I don't even know what the topic is.
Well, the topic is we're talking about the Harriet movie, and the problems with the Harriet movie, because it's not, once again, it's a movie that is produced, of course, by Hollywood, and we recognize mm-hmm. that Hollywood has artistic licensing, and so they can put into the movie some things that are not true, some things that are truly fictitious, you know, and of course they've done that with this Harriet movie. In fact, once again, one of the images is the American African man, the American African male, and in this mm-hmm. movie, he is a hunter. He is hunting down fugitive brothers and sisters to collect the bounties. Now, I don't know, and I don't think, honestly, Brother Pugh, that there were men or anybody who were hunters. Because if somebody's roaming around the countryside with a gun, you know, or some kind of weapon looking for brothers who have escaped and sisters who have escaped to return them to get a bounty, he may have worked with some Caucasians and stuck by them so he wouldn't get killed or shot, or he wouldn't, you know what I'm saying, or he wouldn't be captured right. himself. Let's be real, you know.
Right.
So but that particular character.
He'd be functioning like a bird dog. After they shoot him, his job is to run in there and get him.
That's right.
And bring him out.
see, so I don't believe that particular character. And then, of course, putting Janelle Monáe as a character in there, I have no problem with that, who is instructing her of the things she needs to do and so forth. But in the movie, I haven't seen it, but based upon what was told and I read that he kills
Hold it. Now, this is the blind talking to the blind, because I haven't seen it either. I think I need to go see it, evidently, but no, I haven't seen it either. So
okay.
I have no idea.
Right. So, but anyway, he kills Janelle Monáe's character. He kills her. Mm-hmm. And then when he's mm-hmm. about to kill Harriet Tubman, the Caucasian kills him. The Caucasian kills him. Once again, we as American African men are the brutes. We are the villains. We are the scourge. And the Caucasian is the hero.
The good guy.
He's the good guy.
Well, actually, well, you remember in Wakanda, you know. That
yeah.
Was, you know, that's the critique of Wakanda, the CIA exactly. good guy.
Exactly. I made that reference earlier.
Oh, okay, yes.
Yeah.
I was on the late show. I didn't see your whole show. Okay, all right.
Yeah. You know.
But, well, you know, I was just, you know, I sense, I think I even sent it to you, this Think Black thing about the first black at IBM.
Right.
And a fella called me last night talking about that. And in the course of the conversation, you know, I mentioned to him, I said, you know, you need to go and see Bill Cosby, Black History, Lost, Stolen, Afraid, right?
Mm-hmm. I remember
so,
that.
You know, so he, you know, so one of the things is that that movie tells the story about Harriet, because it basically says that, you know, Cosby said that, well, there's stuff that's in the book that ain't true, stuff that's true that ain't in the book, and even the stuff that they know ain't going to be told with the right kind of, you know, emphasis and so on.
That's right. That's so
you
right.
You got to take all that with a grain of
that's
salt.
That's right. You know? That's right. Yeah, I remember those that Bill Cosby did way back, well, about 40-some years ago. I think around the same time he was doing the Cosby Kids. You know.
Well, no. He did. Oh, yeah, right. The Cosby Kids, right? Because it must have been maybe 68. You know, in that
right.
region.
Right. Exactly.
And by the way, I heard that Andy Rooney from CBS, he's the one that actually wrote it. So I mean, in other words, it's a straight up revolutionary mess.
Is that right?
Talks about, you know, the theft of black culture and whatnot.
Yeah.
You know, around the world. But it's interesting that it was actually the actual words themselves were written by Andy Rooney from CBS.
Yeah.
All right. So you know, that's an interesting take on. I was telling my guy last night, I said, you know, I'm the kind of philosopher I am today. And in fact, the whole reason that I decided to even be a philosopher was that I decided I needed to understand what's really going on. And that I needed to understand that it's very easy for me to be to trick myself and so on. And that all began with this Bill Cosby, Black History, Lost, Stolen, Afraid. It began with that.
So, okay. Yeah.
So all right. So you're saying, right, okay, that your critique of Harriet, at least from the things you've seen, says they're using their poetic license.
Sure.
Basically to continue to bamboo.
Of course. and so, like I said, I did not see it. I've read and looked at a number of things and listened to Boyce Watkins yesterday. He said, I saw it this past weekend, and I'm trying to save our community money to don't go see this. I'm letting you know. You should. Yeah, right. He said, so you go to Your Black World, and you can get a 50-minute critique from
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, you know, let me take a second on propaganda. You know, one of the things, you know, I saw something the other day that says, you know, because it was a critique of Trump and talking about the effectiveness of propaganda.
Mm-hmm.
It says, you know, propaganda is most effective, one, if you're the first one out, if you get the first lick in.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Bill Barr did when he came out with his summary of the Mueller report. Before anybody else
right.
did. So now
right.
you got to work from his framework, right?
Right.
That's the first thing. The second thing that makes propaganda effective is that if it's repetitious, that you hear it more and more often, right?
That's right.
The third thing that makes it effective is the fact that it's presented to you by authorities, and in this case, an authoritative medium. So when you mm-hmm. got celebrities or you got movies or you got that kind of thing telling the story, then, you know, all of a sudden, hey, it must be important, else them important, beautiful people wouldn't be saying it, right?
Right.
And then the fourth thing that increases the effectiveness of propaganda is the fact that it's not rebutted, that mm-hmm. there's no critique. So you get a situation, sorry, I'll just give you an example just tightly. I'm talking, I don't know if you know Salim Muwakil. He's a WBON. In Chicago, you
okay.
know, he's on the radio station there, right? And, you know, so one day I'm listening to his radio show, and a fella calls in and says, Salim, I saw you on TV Sunday. And he said, yeah, man, every time you're on there, man, they always complaining about you talking too much, right? and so Salim said, well, you know, the show comes on four times a month, but I'm only on one time a month. And there are three other people on the show other than me, and they on every week.
Mm-hmm.
So when I get on, I got to get my licks in.
Okay, I hear you.
So I only come on once every month.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is that so the fourth thing that makes propaganda effective is the lack of rebuttal. And so mm-hmm. what Salim Muwakil was saying is that
all them weeks that I wasn't on the show, all the hits that they got in, I didn't get a chance to respond to them. So now is my shot.
Well, I know that Brother Franklin Jones, the Black People Matrix, which I read a piece from him, and I'll read it to you right now because I want to. I know I don't have much time; I only got 5 minutes left. But Brother
Franklin Jones,
the Black People Matrix. Yeah, he comes on right after this program. He said the Harriet Tubman movie should be banned by all African Americans. The film makes American African man the villain, while the Caucasian man is the hero. Usually, totally fictionalized accounts and characters. The main villain is a fictional brutal slave catcher that calls Harriet a bitch and pursues her for the price of getting to sleep with a white woman. The hero is a fictional Caucasian savior that supposedly loved Harriet. Because our stories are told and controlled by Caucasian people, they always distort them in order to shape our minds to us to think favorably of Caucasian oppressors and negatively about ourselves.
Yeah, no question about that.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
Yeah,
one of the things that you do though, because you know, I remember I never went to see Color Purple.
Right.
And or for that matter, Beloved, when I looked at, you know, Toni Morrison winning the Nobel Prize.
Mm-hmm.
But the Color Purple and Beloved, without question, are things that move the ball for Black people in the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things I do when I do my critique, I always say that if you all the way down, then that means that 100% of the things that you're doing is on point.
Mm-hmm.
But you may not be all the way
down.
But there may be something that makes you down. Now, remember, there used to be a time that Black people were supposed to be seen and not heard, right?
Mm-hmm.
So one of the advantages that you get is that at least we heard. Now, we're saying some stupid shit. We may be saying some things antithetical to our interests.
Right.
But we're saying them, right?
We're saying them.
And so what that does is that begins the process of, in other words, this thing of truth crushed to earth rising again. You can see that unlike, you know, in previous times when we weren't even heard, now that the beginning of us being heard. And I remember I'm in D.C. once and I saw at a bus stop, they had a poster on the bus stop, and it said, if the whole world was listening to you, what would you say, right?
Mm.
And so as increasingly the world begins to listen to us, presumably our voice will become more clear and more more resonant and more related to what our truth is.
Well, let me just say this. We need that. But listen, I just want to throw this in. I'm four square against Harriet Tubman's image on a $20 bill. I can't stand it. In fact, I believe she would be rolling over in her grave if they put her on that damn money, especially with Andrew Jackson on the back. The other thing I want to say is that once again, remember to and this is for you, Brother Pugh, to listen for us this Friday at the program Friday, because we're going to have Jeremiah Kamara, who had the documentary Contradiction and Holy Lockdown. Does the church limit Black progress? And of course, slave sermon.
What time does your show start?
11.
I'm confused about time zones and all that.
Right, 10. 10 your time. 10 your time.
10 Central time.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay. All right, my brother.
10 Central Friday.
Right, from 10 to 12. Okay, I'm glad. Okay, hotel. Okay. We end this program like we're in all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. Not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, thank you for listening. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Esante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fahodio. Bibi Fahodio means our victorious destiny. Peace, family.